What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Client Boost Kitchen podcast. And today is going to be a solo episode. So no Jonathan today, just me talking. So that means a little bit less banter than usual, but maybe we'll get this, you know, more actionable insights in a more condensed time frame. So
got the right ingredients for revenue growth. A pinch of effort and a dash of hope won't cut it anymore. Grab your utensils. You're about to get some high-performing marketing recipes. Welcome to Client Boost Kitchen.
Today, we are going to be talking about a LinkedIn ads demand generation playbook. So it's really going to be three core things that you're going to learn today. So number one, the most common mistake that B2B marketers make with LinkedIn ads and how you can fix it. I'm then going to be giving you an easy to implement account structure optimized for how B2B buyers actually buy. And then finally, I'm going to give you the exact campaigns and settings you need to maximize ROAS from LinkedIn ads. So it's going to be an action-packed one. Let's get straight into it. So first, the most common mistake that B2Bs make with LinkedIn ads is that they don't treat it like a full funnel platform. So what they do is they try and use it exclusively for demand capture, and they also don't even set it up right for demand capture. So they'll target a huge audience, usually anywhere from 200,000 to 500,000. They'll then not even put enough budget into that. They'll run, demo request ads to that massive audience, reach a fraction of it, get minimal impressions. And so the ads fail to have an impact. They probably don't even reach anybody that's in market. And the people that out market don't get enough frequency of the ads for it to even have that long-term brand building demand generation effect. So seeing this as the biggest problem, when we kind of build new LinkedIn ad strategies at Client Boost, we're really trying to optimize for that full funnel. And that means we have what we call like an ideal account structure that really splits activity up into demand generation and then into demand capture so that you can be really strategic with who you're targeting from both those areas, right? So on the one hand, we'll have the demand generation campaigns, and we'll typically allocate about 60% of budget to this. This is going to include those bread and butter product marketing ads, and you know, that's problem solution, use cases, capabilities, any features, UVPs, even some more of that brand stuff. So the strategic narrative, that's really just about creating memorable content that associates you with a problem or a capability so that as prospects move from out market to in market, you actually feature on their vendor list, right? And there are some other content types that you can include in this campaign as well. So thought leadership works well here. Lead magnets, they're obviously a controversial subject right now. I don't hate them, but you definitely shouldn't be treating any ebook downloads as MQLs. That is not a signal that somebody's in market. Probably makes more sense to ungate your lead magnets in this instance, if I'm being honest, but entirely up to you. Depends what you're being measured against internally. In terms of targeting at this stage, you really want to find either a total addressable market or a smaller service addressable segment within that total addressable market that you can fully saturate. And this is the key part of the LinkedIn ads play is that if you can't fully saturate that audience, you're going to struggle to make the demand generation work. That's that. Honestly, I can't stress that enough. So for me, if you're, you know, if your total addressable market is 500,000 and you want to run LinkedIn ads, I would find either a specific region or a specific industry focus that you can go after and fully saturate. On the demand capture side, we really split that up into two parts, and we're doing something a little bit different here because I know a lot of bees love to exclude all pipeline from their marketing campaign. So like, yep, we've handed it off to sales now, don't need to worry about that, which is just a huge mistake. If anything, the pipeline is the segment of the audience you should be targeting the most. You know, until the contract's signed, until the deal's won, they're not a customer and you could lose them. And there is absolutely no downsides to continually reminding those prospects why you are the best option. And so what we'll do in the demand capture section is it will actually focus on content that's tailored for pipeline, for in-market prospects. That's things like competitor comparison ads to show how you're better than the competition. Reviews and testimonials work really, really well here. Pain point agitation can kind of help, you know, move somebody to a buying decision faster. Same thing with some ads around cost of inaction. You know, what are they leaving on the table by not choosing you faster? And then probably the most powerful one is objection handling. So if you have common objections that just come up time and time again in calls and you think they're unfounded, then this is a really great opportunity to create ads around those objections to actually help prospects overcome them. Finally, we'll also just have a regular, I've called it conversions campaign. It doesn't necessarily need to use the conversions campaign objective, but it is just a campaign that's targeting users who have shown some form of intent. So, you know, typically that will be high intent page views, but you can also retarget users who have, you know, engaged with a certain number of ads. What we do here is we actually build this using a combination of things like G2 intent data and engagement scoring from Dream Data to target people who have shown engagement but haven't yet approached us to book a meeting. With that one, you'll obviously exclude any pipeline from that. If somebody's already contacted you, you don't need to get them to sign up for a demo again. So that's kind of the core structure. In terms of the campaigns, there's loads of different things that you can do. And you really just want to get a blend of content types, and you want to, especially from the demand generation perspective, you really want to optimize for reach and frequency. So what I typically say is to try and find a balance of having enough campaigns live that you can get somewhere near that 80% audience penetration mark, and in a way that keeps CPMs really low. So when I'm optimizing demand generation campaigns, I'm optimizing for the campaign objectives that have the lowest CPMs and allow me to get the most audience penetration. And sometimes that means that you'll actually make counterintuitive strategic decisions within your platform. A good example is recently I tested the awareness objective versus the website clicks objective for a campaign where I wanted to get a higher audience penetration. And what ended up happening is that I expected that the awareness campaign objective would work the best. It would help me get the most reach because that's exactly what that campaign objective is designed to do, but it didn't. The website clicks objective actually did. So I actually went forward with the website clicks objective, even though that wasn't the main goal of the campaign. It was just helping me get to my goal better. In terms of content here, it's really about just, yeah, having a blend of content types, as many as you can afford to have on. I would say at a minimum, having a single image and a video campaign. So I've actually simplified our account structure right now. So we have a video campaign and a single image campaign, and that's just working really, really well for us. In terms of how I measure the success here, it's very, very different because it's demand generation. I'm not trying to get immediate conversions right now. If I get some and it does happen, that's great, but that's not the goal. So I'm really looking at things like reach, frequency, engagement rate. So what is the average, you know, percentage of people that are engaging with these ads versus how many have seen them? What's the dwell time? How long are they spending looking at those ads? And, you know, typically if dwell time is high, engagement rates are high, that's a sign that this is doing what it's meant to do, that I'm probably creating ads that people remember. And then off platform, I'll go to a tool like Dream Data and I'm checking, okay, how many ICP companies are we getting visiting the website? And that's another really good leading indicator that the demand generation campaigns are actually successfully doing the job that we want them to do, which is create that mental availability so that as those prospects move from out market to in market, we're on the top of that vendor list. On the demand capture side, honestly, it's a very, very similar approach here. So it's about having a blend of content types. Again, for us, we're just finding the image campaign, video campaign. We're also running a spotlight campaign here as well, just because we've seen a lot of attributed value to those. And with this one, because it's demand capture, the main difference is, you know, we've already talked about there's going to be some different content types here, but it's how you measure the success of this. So these campaigns absolutely should be influencing deals. So you should be seeing some closed one from these campaigns, and they absolutely should be generating leads. So you should be seeing leads attributed to these campaigns. LinkedIn is not going to capture everything. So I have an unpopular opinion here, which is a lot of performance marketers will say that platforms overreport on how much value they provide. I think it's the reverse. I think they underreport. I think there's a huge rise in ad blockers, people not accepting cookies, etc. Cross-device attribution is insanely difficult to do. And so, yeah, you're not going to see the full picture within LinkedIn, but you should be seeing conversions. And one piece of advice I would do here is do not rely on short conversion windows for tracking the success of these demand capture campaigns. If you're a B2B with a 12-month sales cycle, you have no business using 30-day conversion windows. It makes no sense. So we use 365-day, and that just gives us the best, I think, high-level overview of how these ads are performing. So one final thing from me on running LinkedIn ads. So ABM, maybe not as popular as it was previously, but still a strategy that lots of companies are experimenting with. And ABM is, I've seen ABM work really, really well on LinkedIn ads, but there is a caveat here, which is it's not the case that you can just hand select accounts and you're going to be able to convert them very, very quickly. And if we come back to this concept of the 95-5 rule, when you hand select accounts, there's no guarantee that those accounts are actually going to be in market now, or they're going to be in market anytime soon. So it's very, very plausible. You know, let's say you select 20 accounts, but the total addressable market is, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. Yeah, it's just very possible that they're not going to be in market right now. And so if you're going to run that small account list LinkedIn ads play, I think that's fine, but you just need to be prepared to play the long game. So it's not the case that in 3 months, you're necessarily going to be seeing booked demos from that or pipeline from that, because you're going after too small a segment of the market. So there's really two things you can do there. Be prepared for that to take longer to see a return on investment, or just increase the target list side. So one strategy I've seen work well here is where you go for a company list, but the company list represents one smaller segment of a market. And so what that means is there's just a higher likelihood that you're going to get that 95-5 distribution, so that you're both creating future demand, but also able to capture existing demand, so that there's, you know, enough ROAS to justify the cost of running the campaigns. That is everything on the LinkedIn ads playbook. So it's a very, very different approach. It's much more simplified, but that's a good thing. And that's definitely the way that performance marketing is going. I think over the past 5 years, maybe even longer, B2Bs have just been massively overcomplicated, and the winners are going to be the ones that simplify and really hyper focus on those fundamentals of marketing, which is, you know, B2Bs, we forgot that we need to play the long-term game, and that we need to optimize for, you know, the full broad audience. And we just got too obsessed with intent data and trying to only focus on who's in market right now. So tactical takeaways for you guys. Number one, and I would say this is probably the most important one of all three, is you should be optimizing your accounts for in-market and out-market buyers, and you should be aiming for 80% audience penetration and 10 frequency. Those are difficult to hit for different markets, but that should still be the aim. And the closer you get to those, the better performance you will see, the higher incremental lift in pipeline, in inbound opportunities, in revenue that you're going to see. You also shouldn't be measuring demand generation and demand capture campaign performance using the same KPIs. So they should be different KPIs. Demand generation is very much about looking at leading indicators. And again, that's things like reach and frequency, engagement rates, dwell times, increase in share of voice, for example, increase in number of brand searches, increase in number of ICP fit companies. visiting your website. And then the demand capture stuff, that does need to be measured against pipeline, against revenue, against inbound opportunities. If your demand capture is not driving those things, it is not working. And you need to hit the drawing board again strategically. And final one for anybody thinking of running ABM on LinkedIn, approach it with caution. So I've seen it work incredibly well. I've also seen it absolutely fail. And when it fails, it's because sales selects a wish list of accounts and thinks that, you know, pumping a bunch of LinkedIn ads to them over 3 months is going to, you know, transition them from out market to in market. It's not necessarily going to work. And so really two things for you to do there is either select a smaller audience or just be prepared to play the long game and set those correct expectations with leadership. Thanks very much for your time today. Catch you in the next one.